So pleased to welcome to the show right now to help us talk about this weekend's playoff action, Alex Marvez, a good buddy from FoxSports.com. Alex, how you doing?
Doing great, Vic. It's an honor to be back with you, my friend.
Always a pleasure to have you with us. And we know you're going to be covering that Giants-Falcons game, and we'll get to that one. But I want to run down Saturday's action. Bengals at Texans. Obviously, there'll be some interest in this game from a Browns fan perspective because of the divisional rivalry here and the fact that this is pretty interesting, the rookie quarterback going up against a Texans team that also has a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, first time in NFL history, I believe, in a playoff game that two rookies have started off against each other, which is, you know, phenomenal when you think about it. And in the case of, really more in the case of Andy Dalton than T.J. Yates, although you got to give T.J. credit, he did lead the Houston Texans to two victories when they needed it the most to go ahead and clinch the AFC South. In fact, he did it against Cincinnati, big comeback win 20-19 earlier this season. But what Andy Dalton has done is really taken it to another level. And in any other year that you didn't have a Cam Newton, I think that he'd pretty much be a hands-down front-runner for Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I think A.J. Green would be right there with him in that category. I mean, for the Bengals to nail their first two picks and to be able to get their wide receiver for the future and their quarterback for the future, wow. I mean, it's pretty strong, especially, you know, talking about the Cleveland Browns and the fact that they may not have either right now on the roster. I mean, that can be, you know, you hate to see a division rival do that, but what concerns me about the Bengals right now, Vic, it seems to me a repeat of 2009, a team that hits December, they've made it that far, they get into the playoffs, and then they just run out of steam. And I really think that that may be the case with the Bengals right now. You look at the two big carries they gave up to Ray Rice in last week's game against Baltimore, a golden opportunity to get into the playoffs on their own. Instead, the Ravens beat them at Paul Brown Stadium. The Texans, they're not going to do anything fancy. They're going to just try to play it close to the vest, lean on the defense, lean on the running game, hope T.J. Yates can make a couple plays in the passing game, especially with Andre Johnson back on the field. Atmosphere is going to be amazing. They've been waiting 10 years, Vic, to get into the playoffs. So yeah. I think the Texans win this one.
Yeah, I think the Texans, and it could be close and competitive just because of the relative postseason inexperience on both sides, obviously, especially at that quarterback position. But I think you nailed it. If Andre Johnson is anything close to full Andre Johnson, I see that as such a difficult thing for this Bengals team to handle. And I would look that the Bengals' best chance from their side is getting Cedric Benson kind of going and trying to have success against this Texans defense. And having success against this Texans defense is not easy.
No, and you know, you got to give so much credit to Wade Phillips. And, you know, Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk had an interesting column up about how the Texans, and I never thought of it this way, but he's right, they have a head coach offense and a head coach defense. And that's what Wade Phillips does. And Mike's point was maybe that's what San Diego needs to do going forward with Norv Turner, have a head coach on defense, that powerful figure who's not going to challenge your job security or anything like that, although Wade Phillips was waiting in the wings if things didn't work out with Gary Kubiak this year. But, hey, that's the reality of it. Now, that's not going to be the case in San Diego. John Pagnano, their linebackers coach, a well-deserved promotion of that. But, right. I mean, this Texans team can play defense. And that's the thing. And look at the improvement in the secondary. Smart move moving Glover Quinn over to the strong safety spot rather than corner where he just – that wasn't his best fit. Jonathan Joseph, former Bengal, and I talked with Glover this week, and he said you could see it a little bit in his eyes, in Jonathan Joseph's eyes, that he wouldn't mind showing the Cincinnati Bengals that they made a mistake by not bidding to keep his services. I'm with you. The Bengals, you know, Seth Benson, a lot of fumbles late in the season. And, mm-hmm. you know, with Cincinnati now having two first-round picks, Vic, I know that the running back position, you know, you can do it the way that teams have done it in terms of, free agent players that have come from out of nowhere. You know, in Cleveland, Peyton Hillis was a throw in a trade, and you look how productive he's been for the Browns the past 2 years. But with those two first-round picks, it would not shock me at all if the Bengals look at drafting a running back, say farewell to Cedric Benson, and go ahead and get a new bell cow back to help run this offense.
Second game on Saturday, Lions at Saints. Alex, is anyone going to stop this Saints team? I mean, it looks like I can't think of another team really rolling into the postseason in better shape with more momentum, more explosiveness. We know all about the Drew Brees spectacular play, their offense as a whole. It just looks like this is an unstoppable ball club.
Yeah, well, at home. That's the whole thing, and this is where it really hurt them that St. Louis wasn't able to pull up that upset of the San Francisco 49ers, because the Saints have proven they're not the same team outside the Superdome, where they are maybe the best home team in football. I mean, they scored more points at home than any team in NFL history. They're averaging more than 40 points a game at home, Vic. I mean, that's just unbelievable. The margin of victory is in double digits that they're doing. In fact, the over-under on this game established by the oddsmakers in Vegas is 59. It is the largest largest over-under in the postseason in NFL history, just to let you know. So people are expecting points coming up on Saturday night. I think they're going to get them. I think the Lions, you know, you just gave up six touchdown passes and more than 400 yards passing to a quarterback making a second NFL start. Doesn't give you a ton of confidence in the Detroit Lions, but we know this. They can score, and that's why the over-under is set at 59, and I think that the Lions are going to be able to put up some points, but not at the pace of the Saints. This is a very special Saints team. The big question then becomes, where do they head next? Are they in San Francisco at Candlestick, where the field is slower? It's a sloppy grass field. Well, it sort of mitigates a little bit of the quickness that the Saints have, or do they have to go to the frozen tundra of Green Bay and face a rematch there, where I think they can put up points against the Packers defense, but again, cold's a mitigating factor, but that one should be the opposite in terms of offense for the afternoon game, watching the Saints and the Lions on Saturday night.
And I just get that feeling, and it happens, obviously. We're a team that's had a long playoff drought, gets to the playoffs, and just reaching the playoffs often is viewed as the prize by that team, and that could be the case with this Lions club. We're visiting with Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com, talking about the playoffs this weekend. You, Alex, will be at the Falcons at Giants game. I think this is one of the more intriguing games of the weekend when you look at how the Giants have sort of turned things around, and this Falcons team, so much expected of it going into the season, and it's really been somewhat of a disappointment that they weren't as maybe more dominant, that they're playing the first weekend of the postseason. How do you see this coming out?
You know, you raise such a great point, and it's interesting to see how the perception of the Falcons has changed under Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith. A 10-6 record used to be great. You know what I mean? And the third consecutive winning season and getting back into the playoffs. I mean, this, you know, when you go ahead and you look at it in a different context, it's like, wow, 10 wins is disappointing. But when you're coming off a 13-3 season and you think that you're ready to take that next step and you haven't done it and you've lost too many big games, that's the thing with the Falcons. It doesn't give you a lot of confidence. Doesn't give you a lot of confidence that, playing outdoors either going forward. And so many people are talking about the New York Giants, comparing this team to the one in 2007 that caught fire late in the regular season and then carried that momentum all the way through to the Super Bowl. I can tell you this. I think that out of the teams remaining, Green Bay and San Francisco, they definitely don't want to see the New York Giants come in their way again because they went ahead and pushed those teams to the limit. I think the Giants are a terrible matchup if they win, having to go back to New Orleans. But first things first, they got to take care of business on Sunday. I think, and I have a column up at FoxSports.com about this, the groundwork for this Giants team really wasn't laid in 2007. The foundation of this team and why it's had success was set back in August, and that's when there was so much doom and gloom around this franchise. And this team is tough. They reflect the personality of their head coach. They go ahead, they handle all the media pressure they're under, being in the world's largest media market.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a special group of guys. I do think they win Sunday, but I tell you, it's amazing to me, and I'm not sure how you feel, Vic, but it just seems to me like the Falcons are getting a tremendous lack of respect and attention heading into this one, and I don't know what that's going to mean for Sunday.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't take this Falcons team lightly. I think they will compete, and it will be a difficult game for both sides, but especially for the Giants to have success. But here's my thing. This is the postseason where Eli Manning can finally take, and he's done a pretty good job of this in the regular season, but I think this will be the defining part where the stage is his, where his big brother is out of the way. He's been off the field all year, and now little brother can, I really think, establish himself in this postseason, because if the Giants are going to be successful and go a long way, it's Eli and those receivers that'll make the difference. The final game of the weekend, Steelers at Broncos. And obviously, this game is all about how Tim Tebow
Who?
You heard about that guy, Tim Tebow, will handle this Steeler defense, and possibly can he reclimate? Can he build back what came apart for him through the latter part of this season? I just don't see how that's going to happen against the Steelers.
You know, I think this game may be closer than what people think, because I don't think the Steelers are hitting on all cylinders right now. And, Vic, you had a chance firsthand to watch Pittsburgh play last week at Cleveland. And, you know, I thought that maybe the Steelers took the game a little bit lightly. I mean, you remember the shovel pass to Hines Ward
right.
in the fourth quarter, and Hines comes off the field laughing. And, you know, it was like it was a play that made no sense in the context of their game, if you know what I mean, to
sure.
run that play. It wasn't even designed to get yardage so much as to make sure that Hines Ward gets his 1,000th career catch. And when you're doing things like that in a game, to me, that showed a little little bit of disrespect, quite honestly, on the Pittsburgh Steelers' part, but that's neither here nor there. I do think, though, that the Steelers losing Rashard Mendenhall to a torn ACL, Ben Roethlisberger still not quite right from that ankle. I'm not sure how many points they're going to put up because this Denver Broncos defense is awfully good. We scrutinize Tim Tebow constantly. We're just, you know, this week, was he afraid to throw the football? Did they not get him into rhythm with short passes? What is it that's going on with Tim Tebow? And it's amazing that everyone has answers for this guy, it seems, except the Denver Broncos, to get it back on track. So I'm with you. I think that the Steelers win, but again, I do think this may be a closer game just because I don't think Pittsburgh is really rocking and rolling right now.
Right. The issues that will keep it closer are, is Ben 100%? He said he maybe aggravated that ankle against the Browns last week. They lose Rashard Mendenhall. So they've got some issues and problems. Ryan Clark will not be in the lineup. So there are areas of the Steeler team that you wonder about. But overall, I just can't imagine the Broncos having enough to beat them. Like you said, maybe make it competitive, but not beat them. Alex, great breakdown. Truly appreciate it, and we will talk to you again.
Awesome, Vic. Be good, baby.
All right, that is Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com. Catch his great work on that website and catch his coverage of Giants-Falcons game. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.